Hi, my name is Josie Pino. I am 49 years old. The date is October 21st, 2022. We're at Dwight Foster Public Library, and I'm interviewing with Amy Christian, and we are friends.
Mm-hmm. And my name is Amy Christian. My age is 52. Today's date is October 21st, 2022. Location is Dwight Foster Public Library, and Josie Pino is the person that I am interviewing. And our relationship is that we are friends. All right. So, Josie, you and I have been friends. I figured it's been, I think, 25 years.
Yes.
Or so. And we both homeschooled our children. Mm-hmm. And now they are all adults, all of them.
Right.
They're all adults. And so I wanted to bring you back to why you decided to homeschool your children, because you started before I did, mm-hmm. and you were definitely an inspiration for me to look at it. Mm-hmm. So why did you start homeschooling as an option for your children?
I homeschooled because in first grade, when I went to help out in the classroom, I could see my daughter's enthusiasm for wanting to learn. But I noticed there just wasn't enough attention for her, and they were almost wanting to push back that enthusiasm a little bit, like, Evelyn, sit down,
mm-hmm.
In that type of way. And so when I saw that for the first time, I thought, you know, she looked a little defeated and almost not as inspired. And it seemed to me that, oh, to give her that individual attention would keep her love of learning just burning, which is why I initially chose to homeschool.
And she's a kinetic learner. She's a mover. And
yes.
I have one of those, too.
Yes.
I had one. And so I can definitely relate to that mm-hmm. thoughts, because that's exactly where I was with Marin mm-hmm. in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a different reason for Owen, or was it just you thought it worked so well that it just you continued?
I actually, with Owen, he really wanted to
okay.
be homeschooled, begged me to homeschool him, but I sent him to school
okay.
in kindergarten.
Okay.
I was going to do the same thing that I had done with Evelyn, kindergarten
mm-hmm.
and first grade I was going to send him to, and then start my in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
But after kindergarten, he was like, Mom, please don't send me back. Please
mm-hmm.
don't send me back. I want to be at home. And one of the big reasons I agreed with him is, again, he's also a kinetic learner,
mm-hmm.
but he would be one that is probably got slight ADD,
mm-hmm.
Attention deficit totally,
mm-hmm.
and where I think that they might be encouraging me to medicate him.
mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I thought, you know, I think I'm going to try a different avenue
mm-hmm.
With him, and so I'm going to bring him home early.
Okay.
And
yeah.
so, yeah. That's why I decided to with Owen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was Marin.
Mm-hmm.
They were already going to start talking about it, the same issue.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, she just needs to move.
I know. That was Owen.
Yeah. So, yeah. So and like I said, mm-hmm. I remember that inspiring me. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is, I have the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful to watch you be ahead of me
mm-hmm.
on that game, because you were always one step ahead. So, when you decided to homeschool and how you're going to do it, what did you do to prepare to homeschool?
I did a lot of research on homeschooling and
mm-hmm.
homeschooling techniques.
Okay.
But I think that I did the first year all wrong, because I thought, I'm going to come up with my own everything.
Mm-hmm.
The best English program, the best history program. But we're going to learn about all the holidays. And, you know, in
mm-hmm.
my mind, it sounded like it was going to be so wonderful. But I put so much pressure on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Second grade,
mm-hmm.
she was going into. I had a second grader and a preschooler
mm-hmm.
when I made the decision. And so way too much pressure, way too much expectation. And I think I almost over-researched.
Oh, okay.
To the point where, oh my goodness, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And if they don't know their spelling, oh my goodness. We're never going to learn how to read.
Because it spirals
yes.
out of control
oh
in
goodness.
Your brain way faster
yes.
than it does in the daily life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was extremely difficult then. And honestly, it was only difficult because of the pressure I put on myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. that is, you know, a lot of people will ask, you know, oh, you know, you make it look so easy. They'll say that, don't?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, if you just would see a bad day.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, where I'm ready to lose it. And that's normal, and that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And some people are seeing you when you're in sixth grade with your daughter. Mm-hmm. They didn't see second grade or third grade.
Right, because it takes time mm-hmm. to get to that
really
comfort
is.
Level. Do you think it was, do you think when you got to fourth, fifth, and sixth, because you had, you allowed yourself, I think, and I saw this, and I did it, we allowed ourselves to make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and we were okay with it.
Yeah, and even mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay if this curriculum wasn't working and it needed to change. It wasn't working for me or it wasn't working for Evelyn. She wasn't learning from it, and mm-hmm. it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when we would talk about that. Because I wanted to teach her that this was her school,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't going to affect my life if she got bad grades. It
Correct.
Was going to affect her life and
mm-hmm.
how much she learned, and this was all about her future.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wanted her to really have ownership of her school. Same with Owen. I really wanted them to have ownership of it, and that's when I found Thomas Jefferson
mm-hmm.
Education,
mm-hmm.
and that really changed my way of thinking and investigating school.
Tell me more about Thomas Jefferson's education. And the book is by Oliver DeMille, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So tell me about that, and how did that change how you were doing your homeschooling?
That was when I realized that it was not my schooling, it was the children's schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And I really learned, like, back when the first
mm-hmm.
presidents were learning, they were teaching themselves all based on literature. And because they wanted to learn so intensely, they spent the time doing that. And so really feeding a love of learning was vital, not actually the learning itself. If we could feed the love of learning and then also teach our children or teach my children to think for themselves, if there was anything I happened to miss in school, having taught them to think for themselves, they'd be able to teach it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
was like, whoa, I only have to teach two things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because everything that you did mm-hmm. then pointed back to that. It was based mm-hmm. on the classic books,
yes.
The love of learning. That was I remember those two things were so big.
Yes.
And I read the book also, and it is. It's
mm-hmm.
like, oh my gosh, like it doesn't have to be so regimented.
Yes.
It can really, you can really allow yourself a lot of room for them to grow
yes.
if you do those two things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow in responsibility
mm-hmm.
because they really start to think about, I'm doing this because this is my future, but I'm also doing this because, man, it's fun and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I let the children decide during the summer if they wanted to keep a subject, and Evelyn always wanted to keep English and Owen always wanted to keep science because it was never school
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
It was always fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they loved to learn from it. And there were the difficulties because Evelyn did not enjoy science.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't love learning science, and Owen did. And
mm-hmm.
Owen did not love learning English, and Evelyn did. And
mm-hmm.
so that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you yourself have a love of science. And
yes.
so that love then you shared with others. And for years you've done that. I even think you did it this last year,
mm-hmm.
still doing some science kinds of classes.
Yes.
And my children were so blessed to be able mm-hmm. To do science with you. And you gave them this love of learning by seeing you love science. Because
mm-hmm.
Nash does not like science, never did like science. Maren loved science,
uh-huh.
loved it. But he knew he had to do that because,
yeah.
You know, through that classical conversation and or that learning, you do have to learn about those things.
Yes.
Because they tie into
yep.
Your math, and they tie into literature. I mean, they do tie in. So it is important to have a broad scope of things.
Mm-hmm.
So you then, the kids got a little bit older, and each year you would, like you said, you'd kind of figure it out how you wanted to do it. When you got to a point where the grades counted,
mm-hmm. yes.
it mattered.
Yep.
Because, and I guess go off of this maybe before we go there, but people expect, or maybe they have this idea that you have to grade your little kids.
Right.
And you don't.
Nope.
You don't have to do any of that.
Nope.
And can you talk maybe a little bit about that struggle? Because I think there's a lot of people who have that idea that you have to grade them.
And interestingly enough, in that first year when I did all that research, there's a lot out there that says mm-hmm. grades are so mm-hmm. important because it helps determine mm-hmm. and you can see where they're at, and then you see if they're at the right grade level. But again, when I read the mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson Education, why are we even trying to confine our children to a grade level?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if they're struggling and they're a grade lower
mm-hmm.
in a subject. It's they're moving at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't need to grade that. You just instill this love of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really, you can't grade it so much. Like math is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a right answer and yep. there's a wrong answer. But English and art and, I mean, some of these other mm-hmm. other topics, they're just really, there's no way to grade it. And test taking.
Mm-hmm.
Test taking, I would say don't do that at all in elementary school. And if you do, if you decide to, have it be open book.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're doing then is they're reading it again, and that's helping put that into their memory even more.
Yeah. Here's another thing. The more layers you do of the same topic, can you talk a little bit about that? And I think you and I, it's kind of funny, but you and I were doing some of this stuff before we even knew what it was.
True.
Which kind of cracks me up, because when we were introduced to another idea, we both were introduced to it separately, read it, came back. You and I came together, and we couldn't stop talking about, oh, my gosh, this is what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the layering effect that can happen as children get older, mm-hmm. and how important that is.
So I just want to confirm, what do you mean by the layering effect?
Okay.
Just like how much they're building upon?
Like, let's say when they're younger, they're introduced, and I'm just throwing out an idea,
yeah.
they're introduced to Newton's law of gravity.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So they're introduced to that. But it's not math.
Mm-hmm.
It's through a storybook.
Mm-hmm.
It's through different picture books that you've seen. And then a year or two later, all of a sudden they're learning math, and all of a sudden they're introduced to that in science.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're introduced to it in science. Not necessarily that they're doing, again, the math of it, but they're introduced to what it is,
mm-hmm.
why it exists, how it came to be.
Right.
Then another year goes by or whatever, now they're introduced to the math of Newton's law.
Right.
So there's these layers that happen through things that we teach.
Right.
When you do a classical converse or a classical education,
mm-hmm.
you do that
yep.
If you're doing it the way they used to do it.
Right.
So can you talk a little, does that?
No, it totally
okay.
does. And it's interesting because I think it's a lot what you said before. We just were naturally doing that
mm-hmm.
because I like to push my children beyond where they are to try to stretch them,
mm-hmm.
not to pull them so much. So, for example, Evelyn loved reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of giving her the level I felt she was at, I'd give her that next level higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know that I ever really thought, oh, I want to make sure I'm layering
mm-hmm.
and that they're consistently learning. I just know in everything I was giving them, it was then stretching them and teaching them and advancing them that little bit more, especially
mm-hmm.
in the areas that they loved and loved focusing in on, science-wise, especially for Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, starting basically his kindergarten year even, he's going to school, but he's interested in what Evelyn's reading mm-hmm. while she's homeschooling. So he'd come home and he'd want me to read that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an elementary, they gear it for sixth grade, mm-hmm. and he's a kindergartner.
Mm-hmm.
And so just this kind of stretching always, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting them to think more about topics. For going back to what we said before, when they didn't enjoy something,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out an area that they loved, like having Owen do a written project on creating fireworks.
Yes.
When it was a mm-hmm. love of his,
mm-hmm.
so much easier than butterflies.
Correct.
That he didn't have any interest in.
and talking about that. Yeah. That is something that you and I did before
yes.
we knew what it really was or how to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
We would take the way they learned.
Yep.
That was a big one.
Yep.
So they were they an audio learner? Were they a visual learner? Were they a kinetic learner? We would take the way they learned best.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would take things they loved to learn about,
yep.
and we would connect them.
Yes.
And I think that's what made our kids have the love of learning
mm-hmm.
instead of feeling like it was awful.
Right.
And there were days, I mean, don't get me wrong, there were days where they were ready to give up and I was ready to give up. But then you were like, you know, let's have a fun day. And you know, because, and again, allowing yourself
mm-hmm.
that freedom to do that because that's important.
Absolutely. And 90% of the time, I would say homeschooling was wonderful, but there was always
mm-hmm.
10%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was just always those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Give me a couple of thoughts or things that you did that were cool and different than other things that that made your schooling together, the three of you,
yeah.
made it different and something that they were exposed to that if they were going to a regular public school kind of thing, they probably would not have been able to be involved in.
Wow. Well, definitely, definitely the individual attention.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Bible studies specific for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in their rooms and we would sit together and read
mm-hmm.
through these devotions and have discussions
mm-hmm.
geared more to where I thought they were in their relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing I think that they never would have been able to learn in school was how to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I also really incorporated in school because, okay, so I wanted that love of learning
mm-hmm.
and I wanted them to learn how to think for themselves, but I added to that I wanted them to love the Lord and I wanted them to learn what it meant to love others.
Mm-hmm.
And so volunteer and service became really something that I thought could not be taught anywhere else. And we would volunteer for MOPS, and we would do Operation Christmas Child, and we would go do Meals on Wheels,
mm-hmm.
and we would go to senior centers, and we would sing.
Yep, I remember doing that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, different activities that we could try to really develop in our children the sense of loving
mm-hmm.
others
mm-hmm.
and knowing there's more even outside of school. I think the other thing in homeschooling that you cannot learn in a public school is how to get along with every age group. You're teaching your child how to speak to an adult, how to speak to younger children,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and be okay in every age group, not just your own age group mm-hmm. that you're with all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that you can't do.
Yeah.
But then my big thing was the science projects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did some crazy things. Kids would come into my home, and I think mm-hmm. this is where they were always like, wow, because I'd explode vinegar all over my house.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they'd be like, I can't just believe you did that.
Yeah, from a parent perspective, they're like, no, I'm never doing that in my house. I'm so glad you do it here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Which was good because, it was something you loved. And so, think of all the kids you've touched over the years because of your love of science and how much that impacted them.
And interestingly enough, I did not start homeschooling loving science. Mm-hmm. Owen loved science. Mm-hmm. I decided to teach a science class because I kept forgetting to do the experiments with him. And I thought, the only way I'm going to remember to do this is by offering a class.
Okay. And that's what started it?
That's what started it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And then these experiments were like, whoa, I really enjoy this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where it started.
Super fun. I didn't even realize that.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh, you were like, oh, I must do this. Yeah. So that's kind of funny. All right. Another question I have for you. Using a public library.
My goodness, yes.
So this is something that, you and I did.
Yes.
Excessively. And can you talk about the benefits of doing that? And how impactful that was on your homeschooling.
Absolutely. I think, the library anyway is a resource that people do not tap into enough. Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness, there's so much you can learn here. You're trying to teach your child the love of learning, and everything that you need in that process as resources is here at the library. And so we lived here. I would come in, I knew the librarians by name because of the stack of books that I was constantly bringing home. To have that access at your hands, you could go online anytime, put as many books on hold. All you had to do was wait for them to come from other libraries. You could pick them all up at one time. You didn't even really have to do searching here anymore. You don't have to search through. You can search online, find them at the library, go pick them up. Because we're all busy. It's hard to find. Get all these books that your children are learning about. Like, at one point, Evelyn had this love of horses. I got every book I could think of series about horses because she wanted to read about horses. Anything I could find on horses to instill that love even more.
Yeah, I called that dancing on a topic.
Yeah.
When Brian and I would be talking,
yes.
And I'd be like, "Yeah, well, we're dancing on this topic or whatever," and we did exactly the same thing. We didn't necessarily have the books that were for the curriculum.
Yep.
And I know you did this too. Is we would put, we'd have 50 books at home.
Oh my goodness,
without a doubt. And they'd be on all the things that they wanted to learn about because that encouraged them to even want to read more.
Yeah, and they'd be excited.
Yes.
We're going to the library. Evelyn would be like, can I start reading now?
Yeah.
And this is a moment where you're like, oh, yeah. I taught her the love of learning. And she just ate up every book. And Owen was like, because I would be, how to make the fireworks and how to put the electrical circuits together. He would be reading junior high level circuitry books in elementary school and paging through because he loved it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it, curriculum is one thing, but then there's all this love of learning books that if you pour that into them, I think that just makes it even easier.
Oh, it does.
And they want to learn it.
You get a little workbook guide on curriculum and how to kind of stay focused all year round on poetry, and then you use the library for everything else. It makes homeschooling so much easier.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, thanks. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that part. I wanted to talk a little bit about the lifestyle of homeschooling. Yes. Now, I remember when I was little, and if someone would have told me they were homeschooled, I would have had a very, very different thought process of who they were, because that was not common when I was growing up. Or it would have been like, oh, they're those kind of people. They don't talk to anyone.
Yep.
All they do is stand there. So you had this, I had this stereotypical thing. Before I started looking at this option, and you and there was a group of other people that I knew that started doing it, and I was like, well, this is nothing like that.
Right.
This is so engaging. So tell me about the lifestyle of what it is like to be homeschooling.
Okay. I do think that there's still that stereotype out there, and there are some families that even mm-hmm. fit that, where the kids have trouble mm-hmm. talking. And I think, at least, I don't think it's said as much, but the biggest question I always got is, how are you socializing with you? Because it's a worry. Mm-hmm.
It
are
is.
Are you just yep. keeping your children mm-hmm. confined at mm-hmm. home, and mm-hmm. they're not getting out mm-hmm. and talking to other people, yep. and so they're going to be weird?
Yeah. Yes.
And so a lifestyle does need to happen, and I think you need to incorporate, like I said before, where you're going out and you're volunteering. Mm-hmm. You are getting them out into the public. I did a lot of field trips mm-hmm. where I wanted them mm-hmm. to learn, because I feel like, yes, you can learn a lot from a book, but when you go and tap a tree to get mm-hmm. the
yes.
sap out of there, and you're going to mm-hmm. make the syrup mm-hmm. at a field trip, mm-hmm. that is amazing. And you're going to do this with a whole group mm-hmm. of children of all ages. I think that is really important. I think there's a warning, though, in homeschooling, because mm-hmm. I do think it's easy to pick homeschooling because you're scared mm-hmm. of what's happening mm-hmm. in the schools, mm-hmm. and you want to keep your mm-hmm. children safe. And I don't think that's ever the right reason to homeschool. Mm-hmm. I think homeschooling does need to be about, you want to instill that love of learning mm-hmm. in their life, because I don't even think it should be about God, the reason that you homeschool, because you can teach them about God mm-hmm. while they're at the at public school. I think it's just got to be because you want to give that focused love of learning, and you really want to pour into them in that way. Mm-hmm. But if you do it out of fear, then you are more likely to shelter them, and they will be struggling in mm-hmm. society mm-hmm. when you keep them from so many things. And so immediately when they were 12, you are getting a job mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you're learning that whole process. And at 14, you're mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. And honestly, both of my children chose a dinner theater, mm-hmm. which I'm so thankful for mm-hmm. because they learned so much. Mm-hmm. I also think it's important to be around school. There's some things I could not teach, like yep. Spanish. Evelyn went to school, mm-hmm. the public school, for Spanish and band. Mm-hmm. Both of my children had to learn an instrument, mm-hmm. and I couldn't teach that to them, so they went mm-hmm. to the school for that. And I feel it's very vital mm-hmm. that they are also at the school, mm-hmm. that they see what's going on, they're around other people, mm-hmm. and they're not sheltered.
That was a great point. In regards to most public school systems, if you are a homeschooler, you can go and meet with the superintendent and find out. Usually, you know, in our state, you can take two classes
yep.
per, and that's part of the system.
Yeah. And any class.
And you can choose any class mm-hmm. to do. And as a homeschooling mom, we can't teach them everything because don't have, there are certain skills we don't have.
Could not do welding for Owen.
Yeah, no, yeah. Marin, the same thing. My daughter took welding. I mean, I don't know how to weld.
Yes.
But again, like you said, learning a language, you know, yep. Nash took German. I've never learned German in my life. So he took those kinds of classes. So Marin did, you know, same thing. She did violin. So took an instrument.
Yes.
So it is important. And again, yes. it is a resource that you have mm-hmm. that you have access to, but you have to be assertive.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to ask for it and move forward on it. And it is important. I've kind of forgot all about that kind of thing, but that is.
Yes.
And it has to, you know, you want it to be at the appropriate mm-hmm. age for them so that they are getting what they need mm-hmm. Because they change as they get older.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So thinking about another avenue is how did you transition? So when they're in elementary school, they're kind of, I mean, really, you can't mess it up. You just can't. I would tell people that all the time,
you can't mess
it up. No, you just can't.
Nope.
When they get to sixth grade, that's when it kind of starts pivoting.
Yep.
Can you tell me that pivot that you did and that transition from sixth grade? Because you homeschooled your kids all the way through
yes.
to the end. So can you give me when that kind of happened for you and how that transition came to place and then going on to higher education after high school?
I actually would plan for 5 years. So I did a 5-year plan every single year for my own children. And that was just, that's me. I don't think that has to take place. Mm-hmm. But that's just something I did. But I held on to it loosely
mm-hmm.
based on where they were at and what they were talking about. And I loved listening to them. So back to the Thomas Jefferson education,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
what one thing that it said was take your children out individually and talk to them
mm-hmm.
about school. Talk to them about their interests. Talk
mm-hmm.
to them about their goals
mm-hmm.
in life and what they'd like to see for themselves in the next 5 years. And so after that, I'd kind of gear what the next 5 years would look like based on what they'd like to achieve. But then I'd take it year by year. Is it going to be best for them to maybe go to the school? Will it be best for them to go to the school for a couple of classes? Will it be better for them to go to online classes? And I'd start thinking that through and talking to them about that. You know, this is your school. Do you feel like you would learn better if you were in all of these classes at school, Evelyn or Owen? Owen always said no. Don't make me go. and it's interesting, both of my children, when they would go, thought the amount of time that they were there was very wasteful, not because they weren't learning anything, mm-hmm. but the amount of time the teachers needed to spend disciplining disruptive students.
Oh, mm-hmm.
In the courses they were taking. And so both of my children would then come home and say that, yeah, they wouldn't want to go to the school for every single class. So that was a portion of it. I
mm-hmm.
wanted them to have some say in it, but I also needed to see, were they actually a part of their school?
Mm-hmm.
Were they actually doing what they needed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were just going to be at home, skipping subjects, not doing what they were supposed
mm-hmm.
to do, not learning, not engaging in it or in any way, then they would need to go to the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To learn. Yeah.
When you were talking, it sparked something for me.
Yeah.
So how do you think or what do you think that you did to prepare, especially Evelyn, because Evelyn then went on to a university.
Yep.
Do you think or what did you do that
mm-hmm.
prepared her?
Yeah.
Because she had a mix, like you said, she did take some classes that were, you know, at a school and then some, and then I know you did some online.
Yes.
So tell me about that kind of thing.
She was looking like she was heading towards English, talking about being a
mm-hmm.
writer specifically,
mm-hmm.
something in communications, you know, and gearing more in that direction. And so as we were talking about it in middle school even,
mm-hmm.
just her love of English and her love of creative writing, I would start making sure she'd take those courses and she could get ready. But as she was stepping into high school, making that decision to still homeschool her, what I did was I went to the Wisconsin, Department of Public Instruction,
oh, mm-hmm.
made sure what are their requirements, looked at what are Fort Atkinson, the school district I'm in, what are their requirements for someone to graduate,
mm-hmm.
looked at how many credits are necessary, looked at what's required to make a transcript, and actually I started to talk to other moms. I found one mom in particular who homeschooled in ninth grade and then sent them for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I found another mom who homeschooled all the way
mm-hmm.
through, and I started to ask them questions, and I got a transcript, a blank
mm-hmm.
transcript from them on how to keep track of everything that I was doing. And on that blank transcript, what I did
mm-hmm.
is I planned their whole 4 years,
mm-hmm.
possibly with all the classes and what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sit down with my children, I take them out for a meal, and we talk about this is what I have for your next 4 years. How does this look for you? Evelyn in particular, because she wanted to go to college, for her, I knew it needed to be, she needed to have a language. I knew she needed to be prepping for taking her ACT or SAT. I know she, I was researching all of this. And so as every year would go by, we'd talk about what needed to take place. And she technically graduated her junior year. She finished all the classes that she needed to in order to graduate. And she decided her senior year then to do dual enrollment for the college she had wanted to go to.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when you get to the ninth grade, that's when you really kind of have to, you have to be prepared.
Yes.
You can't mess around at that point.
Not anymore.
Nope. Because then things do need to be graded.
Yeah.
You know, I know in seventh and eighth, that's when we were doing practice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm grading this.
Right.
I'm not necessarily keeping the grades, but we're going through that process so they know. And I think that's kind of what you did too.
I did also, I still did open book tests.
Yep.
I believe in that so much more than just memorizing and then forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and understanding the concept.
Yes.
That's always the biggest part.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So a little bit of switching gears here. How did your husband feel about this and from in the beginning and then kind of, you know, as you progress? Because this is years in the making. This wasn't like something little that you did.
Right.
So how – give me Scott's thoughts on this whole process. This is always kind of interesting.
Oh, I know. Well, Scott was all for it. He actually went in into the classroom in first grade and saw the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so right away he was like, yes, I think that we should do this. I think after the first year, seeing how frazzled I had made myself, he was wondering if maybe we had made the wrong decision.
Fair enough.
And there were some things that, you know, we were going through even personally and growing and learning. And so, there was definitely struggles our first 2 years of homeschooling. But by fourth grade for Evelyn and first grade for Owen, we had gotten to a point where Scott was like, you know, I think this is going well, and I can see like the future of this and what this is going to turn into. And then by fifth grade, that's when I discovered the Thomas Jefferson education. And he read through the books, too, and was like, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Talking about books, so we talked about A Thomas Jefferson's Education by Oliver DeMille. Any other book that you would recommend to someone that, you know, you read a whole bunch.
I know.
But, I mean, ones that are like, oh, my gosh, this is a book that I recommend anyone who's even thinking about it.
The Ultimate Guide to Homeschooling by Deborah Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the other. I mean, those were my two resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would very much agree. Those were critical.
Yeah.
To move forward and to understand the big umbrella of what we were venturing into.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I know we're getting close here, but if I could say anything, don't be bogged down by too much research.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking so much in. Because really, you're just going to find those two books that are like, oh, wow, this is the type of schooling I'm really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many good resources out there. You can go to the homeschool conferences, and I think you can really lose sight of, you're like, oh, I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do this, and it can really stress you out, especially as middle school and high school comes along. And I've had those days where, did I just screw up my whole child's education, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Am I doing the right thing? And, I've had those days.
Yeah.
And then there's the days where I'm like, oh, wow, they're blossoming and they're learning so much. And this was such the right decision. And you're going to have both of those days.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for letting me interview you in regards to homeschooling and what that all entails, and all the years that you did it. And it would be super cool one day to be able to interview our children and really ask them and record it of what they think now, because
that would be a blast.
They have such a perspective that's different than when they were in it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Agree.
All right.
Thank you, Amy.
Yep, thank you.